Day weather.
Tonight, partly cloudy skies. It'll be breezy, low 64. Cloudy day tomorrow, a morning shower, followed by periods of rain in the afternoon, the high at 68. Clouds and cool tomorrow night, rain late, low 49. Clouds and breezy, some heavy rains on Saturday. We could see some flooding, the high Saturday at 60. Partly sunny, a nice day on Sunday, the high 60. Monday, variable cloudiness with a high at 64. I'm Steve Williams on 1540 WADK.
It's the Open Forum on 1540 WADK. Call 846-1028, 846-1028. Now, the Open Forum on 1540 WADK.
And good afternoon to you. Bruce Newberry here, hosting the Open Forum, the 65-year tradition here on WADK. We focus in on our hometown, your hometown. And nice to be with you. So, Lieutenant Governor Dan McKee is cutting a ribbon as we speak. So he's going to join us as soon as he cuts the ribbon. That old excuse. Why not? So he's going to join us more than likely at 12:15. With lots and lots to talk about. We expect that the LitGov is going to have a word or two about the newly announced expansions to the Restore RI Small Business Grant Program, which he was an instigator of. I think he can take a little bit of a victory lap. Newly announced business adaptation grants, a newly announced nonprofit grant program in partnership with the Rhode Island Foundation. So all of that momentarily. In the meantime, I have a favorite topic of mine that is not peculiar to Rhode Island. It is all over. And it is a media thing. And it is reflective of a larger issue. It happens locally. I think it happens in other places as well. I think we've had examples from a lot of other places. It's how people of a certain age are portrayed. Now, when we say that someone is of a certain age, sometimes that has a certain connotation, right? Usually, if you say a certain age, it's old. But the in this case, it's about someone who is between the ages of, oh, say, 15 or even 13 and 20. What do you refer to someone who is 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19? You can call them a teenager, correct? Except how far will you get if you happen to be in any close relationship with someone who's, say, 19 or even 18, calling that person a teenager? When you're 13, you can't wait. I'm a teenager. But once you get to be about, oh, maybe even 16, you don't want to be called a teenager anymore. Certainly when you get to be 18 or 19. But yet, the media cannot make up its mind how to portray someone who is certainly 18 or 19, but sometimes, depending on the type of story it is, someone who's as young as 15. Case in point. Remember the story last week about the kid who was he may have been dealing too, but he was getting drugs sent into him at the training school. And a parent had bribed a guard there, and the kid was getting THC. It wasn't just CBD. This was the high test stuff, right? Well, they're calling him a teen. Police training school teen enjoyed the hustle and quick money of drug scheme with which he was involved. Now, the story has been taken off the Channel 12 website because it's been up there for 10 minutes. And also because it's a stupid thing, but this is a 19-year-old. a teen. There was a story a week or so ago where there was someone who was 17 or 18 involved in a crime. And I think there were actually two stories where there was an 18-year-old and then there was a 19-year-old. And in one case, the 18-year-old was a teenager, described as a teenager, teen arrested in crime. And in the other instance, was referred to as a youth or a teen. We have reported stories of people as young as 15 who have been referred to as young women or young moms, which doesn't do, it seems to me, anybody any good, particularly those who are 16, 17, 18, 19. Every once in a while, it's kind of settled down now since COVID has sort of taken over as something that's really important and is sort of pointed up the frivolity of this, but there was a movement at one time to reduce the voting age, lower the voting age to 16. So these would be the people that you, when it suits your purpose, call youths or teens. But in this case, they're adults because they can help you get rid of Trump. So the schizophrenic media never ceases to amaze. And how the effort is, it's really becoming a quest. It's not an obsession, because an obsession connotates no control. Or, oh, I'm just so obsessed with chocolate. This is intense. This is intentional. Be part of the narrative. I'm hearing the bird in my headphones. Can you hear that? I have the window open here in the home studio. And we have all kinds of flora and fauna here in America that are making their presence known. Somebody must be at the feeder. I can't tell who that is by the chirp. But I can hear the echo in my headphones. So so it's going out over the air. It's not a bad gig, you know, sitting here among the birds. I'm not even in Vermont. I am in America, but I am not in Vermont. I am in Rhode Island. And we have birds. And it's nice. Nobody else in talk radio is being accompanied by birds. Well, we are filling time here. Waiting for Lieutenant Governor Dan McKee to finish cutting his ribbon. And then we're going to speak with him in our usual LG Live on W80K. And we'll speak about the Restore RI grants and the other things that he has on his mind. Governor Raimondo at 1 o'clock today, we'll talk more about that. And we will see how things go. We may return to the Newport School Committee Candidates Forum to hear their closing statements, because it's the only time that all of the candidates for the Newport School Committee are in one place to let their voices and their perspectives be heard. The one-on-ones are all well and good, but you're in a vacuum. You're just in a silo, and nobody's there to challenge or anything like that. So it's an artificial environment, and not reflective, and doesn't do the voters any good, quite frankly. So, and there's Lieutenant Governor McKee calling right now. So, Lieutenant Governor, I'm going to have you just hold on for a minute here while I do the traffic, and then we'll join you in a minute or so. So stand by for me, and I'll check W80K's exclusive VD Mercedes-Benz, VD Volvo Cars of Tiverton Bridge Traffic Report. Now in the midday on W80K, because you asked for it, we have a moderate ride on the Newport-Pell Bridge, slow spots both directions. On either side of the construction zone, we're seeing a slowdown under the Jamestown Arch, both east and west, and then 25 miles an hour down to one lane in the construction zone, midspan to Newport. Out on the Jamestown-Verrazano Bridge, we've got lane restrictions at two spots at either end of the bridge. They'll be in effect until about 3 or 4 this afternoon. So you've got about an 8 or 9-minute crossing time from the Boston Neck Road exit to the foot of the downtown Newport exits. Mount Hope Bridge has been just a problem all day and all week long with that one-lane restriction going on. Right now, the backup starts at mid-span now to Portsmouth. You're backed up northbound on Boyd's Lane all the way back to Route 24. So not a lot of fun there. And it's going to be like that for the balance of the day and then part of the day tomorrow. So Conneaut River Bridge looking good from Portsmouth to the VD side of the river, where it's always VD and U. And we check the bridges every 30 minutes all morning and now in the midday on WADK.
Clements Marketplace, family-owned and operated since 1980, where commitment goes deeper than just providing groceries. In 1997, Clements enhanced their local outreach by creating the Community Partners Program. So far, this program has enabled Clements to donate close to $500,000 to the area's nonprofit organizations, a noteworthy achievement made possible through Clements' countless customers and friends. For information about Community Partners, stop by Clements' courtesy desk.
This Saturday and every Saturday afternoon at 105, WADK, WADK.com, and Corrigan Financial present Classic High School Football as we bring you some of our games that we broadcast from the last 20 years. And this Saturday, it'll be Portsmouth hosting Barrington. It's a game that was played on October 18th of 2008. This is Bob Angel. Joining me on the play-by-play is statistician and analyst Jim Ascoli. Classic High School Football, Saturdays at 105 on WADK and WADK.com. Brought to you by O'Brien's Pub, Gustav White Sotheby's International Realty, A1 Roofing and Construction, Midtown Oyster Bar and the Surf Club, by Clements Marketplace, Newport Propane, West Main Pizza of Portsmouth, and by Corrigan Financial.
We play by our own rules.
Talk of the town. Bruce Newberry.
How cool is that?
There's my buddy Bruce.
Weekday mornings from 9 to noon on 1540 WADK.
This is the Open Forum, and it's Thursday, and so we have the LG Live on WADK. Lieutenant Governor Dan McKee joins me on the line. Hello, Lieutenant Governor.
Hi, Bruce. Wonderful day. It was a beautiful day yesterday in Newport when I was down there.
Yes. Tell us about it.
Yeah, we went in the area where O'Brien's Pub is, visited Steve at Winner Winner. That was an interesting little restaurant. He's adapted a lot of takeout going on.
Yes.
The Bordeaux Spar, and, you know, what an interesting place that is right in Newport. They're going to actually open up another spa in Providence on Broadway within the next couple weeks. And Team One Newport, we were at O'Brien's Pub. So it was a great tour with Aaron from the chamber, and we were able to meet those businesses and kind of give them the same information that we're going to talk about today.
Excellent. Well, you can take a little bit of a victory lap because you put out the word and things happened. The Restore RI grant money has been expanded and has been increased.
It has been expanded, increased. Child care is going to be included. We're going to get instead of a $15,000 cap on a grant, it's $30,000. We did send a letter to the governor asking that to get moved to $50,000. I think that would be a good number. We went from 20 employees to 50 employees covered based on a letter that we sent a few weeks back where we tried to get into a more efficient strategy. I think we can still do better, but we're showing progress. They're going to be people who have already received dollars. 1,400 businesses are going to be eligible for more dollars as a result of moving the cap from $15,000 to $30,000. So that's good. And we need to keep on working on that. But one of the things we're talking about, we were in Jamestown yesterday and Newport yesterday, visited several businesses, 20 businesses or so in total.
Wow.
And we're really encouraging them to file the application. Go to the Commerce site, file the application. The grants should be coming out quicker. But we have only expended $11 million up to date of the $50 million. So there's a lot more to go before I can ask for more dollars to be, given to the, in grants to the business. And remember, these are grants, not loans.
Right.
And this is CARE Act money that the federal government sent to the state. And one part of the allowable uses is to help small businesses with grants that have been negatively impacted by the COVID-19, Bruce. And we need to get the money to them because the businesses I'm visiting, whether it's in Jamestown, Newport, I've been in Gloucester, we've been in Barrington, we've been in Bristol, we've been all around the state. We'll be in Central Falls this afternoon, Woonsocket tomorrow. These businesses need the help, and we need to do everything we can to get the word out. So we're so appreciative of you providing this venue to help these small businesses in your area.
Well, we hope we helped. I mean, you and I really did a selling job last week, and it looks like we got $1 million out the door.
Yeah, and that's great. And we got, you know, there's another $39 million to get out. We still believe that, you know, that the more should be coming. And there's deadlines. In the letter to the governor, and we've been talking on the, you know, with the media, just to make everybody aware, there's deadlines on this. We either use those dollars or we lose those dollars. And if we don't use all the, you know, the total of the $1.25 billion, which has got a number of uses in terms of healthcare issues and small business and municipal education. If we don't use that money, Bruce, it gets sent back. So it's use it or lose it. And we're on a real, you know, very tight timeline here to kind of get these dollars out the door.
Well, it's 9 weeks. The deadline is December 31st. Now, the governor referenced that yesterday, and she said, the quote was, "I'm not going to give up that money." Do you believe her? Does she have that power?
All right. Well, that's why we need to do everything we can, because that timeline is really a tight one. Not only do you have to have the money allocated, but you have to have it distributed, Bruce. So that means that you got to borrow the beginning of December. Quite frankly, to actually get the money out so that you are hitting that deadline of December 30th. So, yeah, I think that her intentions are good, but we're taking a big risk here, thinking that some level of changes are coming, and we're right up against the deadline. So that's why we're encouraging people to apply for those dollars. Our office would be very willing to help out in any way. You can call our office at 222-2371. And in addition to that, there are other grant programs out there, but not as big as the possibilities on this Restore Rhode Island
sure.
grant.
Yeah, she got it up to 30,000, if I heard right yesterday.
It's up to 30. We're going to try to get it even up higher. And we want to get the minimum from 2,000. The minimums right now is 2,000. We want to get that to $5,000.
Yeah.
And then simplify the application even more. That's what we're advocating for. So yes, we have advanced it considerably from the, you know, when it was announced several weeks ago. But this has been 8 weeks, Bruce, and we only got $11 million of the $50 million out. Hmm. We know the demand's there. I'm visiting businesses, and I can tell you, privately, there many of them are saying, "I don't know whether I'm going to make it to the beginning of the year. I, you know, we're close to bankruptcy." You know, they actually use the bankruptcy word with me in different communities. This is serious business. We got to get this money out and do everything we can. And then we got to do another round. And against the deadline, that the prospect of getting more dollars out becomes remote every day that goes by, and we need to make sure that happens.
Well, that's a good point to really get things going. Don't think in terms of December 31st, think in terms of December 1st, which leaves us about 5 or 6 weeks. So that's an excellent point.
Absolutely.
So you visited some businesses in Newport and Jamestown, all up and down the spectrum, retail and some hospitality type businesses. And was there any word of how particularly the hospitality-oriented businesses, were they able to at least salvage some semblance of a summer season?
They did, and I think that's a credit to the chamber and a credit, you know, to the local the people that live in the Newport area and support it. You know, they're fighting it out. You know, they're not giving up. So you know, so that's good to hear. But they're concerned because it's going to get colder. And the season that's coming up, especially in terms of the Christmas season, we really need to do everything we can, because many, many of the businesses rely on the holiday season for the success of their business to keep them alive. So, and we're up against the Take It Outside grants, you know, that the Erin had told me, Erin Downham Boyle, who's the executive director of the Newport Chamber. You know, she said that they had qualified for some grants and they're starting to proceed to get some of these take it outside strategies with yes. heaters and blankets and that type of thing, which is really good. And we don't make in light of that. But that's like a small amount of money relative to these grants. And that's why we're focusing on the grants on our tour, you know, throughout the state right now.
Sure, yeah, because you definitely need the dollars. You can't pay your rent with a blanket. So that's what.
No, and when it was raining the other day, nobody likes to sit under a wet blanket.
Well, that's it, you know, and it's going to be a consideration. It's going to be a commodity, and we must take that into consideration. So at the very, very least, look, every little bit helps, and we do want our restaurants open any way we can get them. And so these measures are certainly helping out to whatever degree they are, and they're badly needed and much appreciated and all of that. But it comes down to these folks needing to keep going. Now, you mentioned Erin Donovan Boyle. She was on with us this morning, as the chamber is every Thursday, and the Newport Chamber is actually using some of their grant money to put on a job fair, which raises another issue. What are you hearing about jobs going begging? These businesses that you were talking to yesterday, any of them hiring?
There was a number of help wanted signs in their windows. So they are definitely hiring. And that's good news for the people who are, you know, been out of work. And these are good companies. You know, we Erin brought me to more of a neighborhood area that, you know, people support those those venues year round. And so right now there was help wanted signs in many of the windows of the businesses that we visited and you know, walked by.
Interesting. So we're talking with Lieutenant Governor Dan McKee. He's on live with us every Thursday. And we want to also mention, Dan, the business adaptation grants and then a new nonprofit grant program in partnership with the Rhode Island Foundation.
Yeah, I think all these things are really important. An adaptation grant, where it's a competitive bid. There's about, $1.8 million that was put into the program. And companies will be able to start applying for these grants, you know, as they adapt their business to the current environment, whether that means, you know, online sales, or whether it means, you know, different types of virtual activity, or maybe repositioning what they're selling and what they're marketing, you know, all those type of things. And they can, you know, on those competitive grants, the cap there is up to $50,000. We encourage people to take advantage of any grant programs that are out there, any favorable loan programs that are out there, any level of help in terms of like consulting help. There's a great deal of professional consulting help through SCORE and others that could really, you know, help these businesses, you know, as they need to convert and as they need to kind of reinvent themselves in ways that we normally do as small businesses. And I've been a small business owner, which I think is a reason why I'm so, you know, passionate about this at this point in time. But yeah, we're always in a reinvention mode. So if you're in a reinvention mode, this adaptation grant could be helpful to you.
Excellent. So that's terrific. And now this nonprofit part of this, is that connected with the Restore RI? Because I did hear that those two are connected, or is this a separate thing?
They both allow nonprofits right now. They're speaking to nonprofits. We haven't got the clarification yet in terms of what nonprofits. We're hoping the chambers who are nonprofits, you know, we've been advocating that they, you know, are able to
right.
get some of the funding because of the work that they're doing out of pocket in many cases, you know, for their membership, which, you know, we know that, you know, membership, you know, dues are slow to come in because of the environment. So we need to get money to our chambers and other nonprofits. So we're waiting on the details of the, you know, what nonprofits are eligible. We'd be happy to share that with you next week. But this other program is partnering with the Rhode Island Foundation, and there's grants that are going to nonprofits anywhere from $15,000 to $75,000. And the Rhode Island Foundation will have the details. There'll be additional info, you know, from the Rhode Island on the Rhode Island Foundation site beginning October 15th. So that comes up, I think that's today, right?
Today is the 15th, halfway through October, Lieutenant
Governor. And it'll be on a rolling basis to October 30th. So they have a limited amount of money. I think it's more in the $1 million range. But these are all grants that that are available. And God knows that all our groups, including our nonprofits that operate to benefit our local communities, they're in dire need as well as for funding. So it's good to see these other, you know, other grant strategies that are available And again, but I keep on going back at $40 million. That's where the money is. So that's where we need to really keep spending our time.
So let's put that call to action out again, Lieutenant Governor Dan McKee, for the Restore RI grant program. $30,000 available. That's the max. And you're going to have to demonstrate that you did lose some money due to the pandemic. There is a certain amount of paperwork. It's been simplified, and the Lieutenant Governor's office is happy to help you with it. And how do we go about it?
Yeah, so contact our office, 222-2371. Go to our email address that we set up specifically for the, during this health crisis, which is now an economic crisis for us. You can go to ltgov20@gmail.com. That's the way to go. And then also, I keep on reminding people on every visit, we have this great Rhode Island Coalition of Small Businesses. You can go to rismallbusiness.org. And you can see listed in there with we're partnering with on a volunteer basis with businesses throughout the state to create this coalition. And in on that website, rismallbusiness.org, is listed all the possible things that the small businesses can actually benefit from.
Excellent. Well, it's always great to talk to you. And we are so happy to be able to have you every Thursday at noon. And we will keep carrying the message. So get it out there. Glad you enjoyed your time with us in Newport yesterday. Much appreciated. And we'll talk to you again next week.
Okay, Bruce. Thanks so much for getting this message out. Very important. And stay safe. And everybody's listening, stay safe. And yeah, Newport area is a great place to visit. So we encourage everybody, during this upcoming holiday season, do your business with your small businesses local.
Definitely. Definitely. All right, my friend. Thank you very, very much indeed. Lieutenant Governor Dan McKee, the LG, live here on WADK. We have him every Thursday at noon live. And don't forget, ltgov20@gmail.com for your questions about the Restore RI grant money. Now, if you have expressed an opinion on how bad things are in places like social media, let's say, apply for some money. Now, maybe you're not going to get as much as you want. Well, you're not going to get $1 million, but you could get $30,000. Maybe you'll get $2,000. Maybe you'll get $4,000. At least pay the rent, keep the lights on, keep you going for another month, and then hopefully things will get better. What more can we do? So visit the Commerce RI website and look for the Restore RI grant tab, fill that on out. You have to demonstrate and all of that. So there you go. So we're standing here with the tools to help make you whole. And we appreciate the Lieutenant Governor very, very much getting it out there, visiting all the towns, and getting it said. And we have him here in the open forum on WADK.
WADK weather.
Tonight, partly cloudy skies. It'll be breezy, low 64. Cloudy day tomorrow, a morning shower, followed by periods of rain in the afternoon, the high at 68. Clouds and cool tomorrow night, rain late, low 49. Clouds and breezy, some heavy rains on Saturday. We could see some flooding, the high Saturday at 60. Partly sunny, a nice day on Sunday, the high 60. Monday, variable cloudiness with a high at 64. I'm Steve Williams on 1540 WADK.
With UnitedHealthcare Medicare Advantage plans, there's so much to take advantage of, like $0 copays on preventive dental care.
Wow.
Plus, the nation's largest Medicare dental network.
Wow.
It's time to take advantage. To learn more, visit AdvantageWow.com. That's AdvantageWow.com.
$0 cost share for in-network preventive dental care. Specified services only. Benefits vary by plan and area. Limitations and exclusions apply. Network size varies by market.
Wow.
One of Newport's all-time, long-time favorites, O'Brien's Pub. Loved by locals and tourists. You don't need reservations, just come on in. All of today's safety protocols are in place. Treat yourself to all those great choices from O'Brien's extensive menu. Sandwiches, wraps, soups and salads, grilled pizza, gourmet mac and cheese, dinner entrees, and a gluten-free menu. Open every day at 11:30. It's all about good food, good friends, good times. O'Brien's Pub, 501 Thames.
Hi guys, it's Bob Angel. I'm one of those who's proud to say I was born and raised and have lived my entire life in this Newport area. I simply want to join the effort to encourage you to support our invaluable local businesses in these very challenging times. Over the course of my 50-plus years on this radio station, I've come to know and appreciate firsthand so many of those businesses, their owners, their staffs. It's so easy to see how essential these merchants are to the vitality of our community. Now more than ever, we need to display our support for these countless friends and neighbors. The products you need, the services you need, they're all right here. Thanks to so many who endure and wage a relentless battle to be open and stay open while offering you safe and healthy environments. Local businesses, we need them. They need us.
America, start your engines. The roads are opening up, and it's time to drive again. Barry's Auto Group can make sure your vehicle is healthy and ready for the drive. Right now, they're offering up to 50% off the current labor rate on all services and oil changes. They're only $14.95. Don't forget about their Repair Now, Pay Later program, where you can service your car today and pay absolutely nothing for 1 year. Call Barry's at 847-5600 to schedule your next service appointment today, or visit Barry's Auto Group at 166 JT Connell Highway across from Walmart on the Rotary in Newport. Barry's is proud to share the spotlight with these local businesses.
Brought to you by the Heritage Harbor Foundation. In 2019, the Heritage Harbor Foundation gave grants to 21 organizations to promote awareness of Rhode Island's historical, ethnic, and cultural heritage.
WADK gives you the information you need.
If you're not informed, then you're out of the loop.
On air and online.
And if you're out of the loop, you have no idea what's going on.
WADK.com.
It's the Open Forum on 1540 WADK. Call 846-1028, 846-1028. Now, the Open Forum on 1540 WADK.
As we continue, let's bring you the remainder of the Newport School Committee Candidates Forum. Now, this was from September the 10th, but it was the only time that the school committee candidates were together to make their positions known, have a little bit of interaction, the closest thing to a debate that you're going to get. There were 10 candidates. There are 10 candidates, first of all. And 9 of the 10 are with us. Nicole Matthews did not participate. So we have Louisa Boatwright, Becky Bolin, David Carlin, Mike Cullen, Jim Dring, Sandra Flowers, Ray Gomes, Robert Leary, and Stephanie Winslow. And your moderator is Toby Stapleton. We went through the key question, the school bond, and so we'll go to the closing statement so that you can hear each of the candidates, and we should have enough time between now and the top of the hour to get everyone in. Of course, the governor at 1 o'clock with what's next in terms of COVID. And here is Toby bringing in the candidates for their closing statements.
Each of the candidates will have an opportunity to provide a 90-second closing statement. And we're going to begin in reverse order from what we started with. And we're going to start with Stephanie Winslow. Stephanie?
I'm not used to going first. I think one bright spot of COVID life is that we're a lot more comfortable with these virtual meetings. And I think it's a great way to reach voters who have the ability to get online. So maybe we're reaching more people, and that's a good thing. I hope so. I look forward to hearing their reactions. I believe the more we share, the more we understand, and the more we will align our goals. I'd love to give my best effort to a full term on the school committee and hope that you will consider voting for me. It's important to remember that the problems we face in Newport are not unique to Newport. America will always have a lot of work to do when it comes to public education, but let's not forget how much good is happening. It's so easy to take the positive stuff for granted. It's easy to criticize and lay blame, but it's a lot harder to work towards solutions. The role of the school committee is to guide our schools through policy and budget, and I believe in this mission. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Stephanie. Next candidate is Jim Dring. Jim?
First quick thing I wanted to say was regards to regionalization. The Middletown Town Council and everyone on there who is against regionalization is up for re-election in November. So let's hope that there's some changes there and we get some people in there that are more positive on regionalization. But as a father with daughters in the Newport school system, I have a unique perspective that no other candidate for the school committee possesses. As I mentioned before, last year, my youngest daughter was at Pell, my middle daughter at Thompson, my oldest daughter was at Rogers. There's no other candidates running for the school committee that have any children in the system, to my knowledge, nor do any, I don't believe anyone running for city council has any children in the system either. So while I don't believe having children in the system is a prerequisite for being on the school committee, it's one of my primary motivations for running and affords me the ability to look from within the school and not just in passing. And as a parent with kids in the system, I have a vested interest in making the public school system the best that it can be. And I look forward to helping achieve the best results possible for all the students. I'm also keenly aware of the delicate balance between the schools and the other competing needs of the community, which obviously means money. The school budget is one of a portion. You know, they got to have money to fix the roads. They got to have money to, have someone, a water system and everything. So there's always a competing need. So I understand budgets. I believe all children deserve the same amount of education and opportunity to thrive. And if I'm elected, I'll work tirelessly to give all of our children the best education possible. We drive around town, you see signs says, drive like your kids live here. What I want to say is vote like your kids live here. And I ask for your vote on November 3rd. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Next, Bob Leary. Bob?
Thank you. I think you guys know that education matters, learning matters. How do I get the people to listen? It's time to stand up and demand better. I hear at times that, why am I the 6-1 vote? I'm the one vote. Why do they say all the time? Let me give you a couple of one examples. National Grid convinced every member of the school committee on September 10th, 2019, to vote for lowering our heat and cold nights, what they call peak period response program. They all voted for it, except for me. I was shocked. The next day, I called our insurance company up, and they were shocked. They said they sent a letter the next day telling the Newport School Committee they will drop our insurance if we do that program. Obviously, it was we pulled back out. We had to keep our insurance. Second, that was an example of I can't believe they did this. Here's another one. Newport School Committee's calendar, before the governor made calendar unified for everybody, was that we're going to be off in February vacation. This year's calendar, was going to have February vacation off 4 days. That week is Winter Festival in Newport. We are the host city for 150 events, family events in this town, and we were going to school. There's events like Princess Party, Story Time at the Breakers, Teddy Bear Tea Party, Mad Science Shows, Live Jazz for Kids, and many more. But we were going to go to school. What message are you sending to the business community in Newport? It's clear to me you keep supporting us, but we don't support you.
Thank you, Bob. Next up, we have Louisa Boatwright. Louisa?
What I want to leave you with is my goal is to improve education in Newport. And our job is to really focus on how to prepare students for success in life with teaching, knowledge, life skills, career skills. And how we do this is important. Teamwork, leveraging everyone's strengths and focusing on the goal. Not really undermining the school system and not grandstanding, but really moving the ball forward in education. And I want to say that culture and climate matters. So it starts from the top. So I think we've seen some improvements in this area in the last year and two, but keeping on that focus of working together, solving problems, identifying them, putting great goals together is what really matters. And then the implementation is important. As an example, when we looked at the pre-K, we had to make a decision in December. We put a short and long-term decision in front of the school committee, and it was the best educational option available. When we implemented it, it was with time to put improvements in and also for clear communication to teachers and families. I ask you to join me in the goal of improving education and vote yes for the bond. And I think my background of operations, finance, and project management can add value to the school. Thank you.
Thank you, Louisa. Next, Sandra Flowers. Sandra?
Thank you. Well, I have the energy and the perseverance and the knowledge to continue on the school committee. And as a positive, we have to look at our continued collaboration between Newport Public Schools and the school committee with the city government, and also with all the community partners we have. Some people have been really complaining bitterly about certain things that are going on in the school system. We're not giving excuses at any time, but we are looking for the reasons for low scores or any of the attendance or whatever. And ferreting out all of those reasons is what's very, very important. Remember, we have a different group in each class every year, and this is not a simple thing. We have a diverse community. We should have a diverse teaching staff, people in the right in the schools, so kids see people who look like them. We get the words out to the parents on how important education is. I'm happy to hear that people here tonight are saying we should hire more teachers and hire more people, you know, for ELL. But then by the in another question, let's tighten up our budget. You can't do both. I always say, if we're going to spend the money, are we getting our money's worth? And that's the important point. So again, any decision I make is carefully thought out and is always what is best for all, each and every one of our students. And let's get that bond issue passed. Thank you.
All right, Sandra Flowers getting it said in the Newport School Committee Candidates Forum. And I think we'll be able to get everybody else in here before the top of the hour here in the open forum, and we'll be right back.
Thai Cuisine on Thames Street in Newport offers traditional Pad Thai, authentic curry, including seafood and vegan, stir-fry and pan-fried dishes and more. Indoor and outdoor seating. Call 841-8822 for reservations, delivery, or takeout. Thai Cuisine. Food to Thai for.
In these difficult times, if you or someone you know needs vital roof repairs or a brand new roof, A1 Roofing is proud to offer 0% financing with deferred payments for 6 or 12 months. The application is quick and easy and online. Go to A1RoofingCompany.com. Get that roof repaired. Get that new roof with 0% financing available now through A1 Roofing. To apply, go to A1RoofingCompany.com.
Hi, I'm Ray Brown, inviting all nature lovers and bird watchers to join me for a new show here on WADK. We call it Talkin' Birds. It's a fun show about the birds in your backyard and beyond. We feature expert guests, contests and giveaways, and lots of tips and information on attracting birds, feeding them, and learning more about them. Please join us for Talkin' Birds every Saturday morning from 7:30 to 8 here on 1540 AM, WADK.
With all of the stress in the world, the last thing you need to worry about is what to do after a car accident. That's why you call Carl's Collision Center. We have two convenient locations in Newport and Fall River and make the whole process easy. When you choose Carl's Collision, you can trust your vehicle is in the right hands. Our technicians are trained by many of the manufacturers with certifications from Mercedes-Benz, Tesla, Ford, and many others. Carl's Collision Center is building it new all over again. Visit us at carlscollision.com.
Carl's Collision is proud to share the spotlight with these fine area businesses. Clean your closet and help a nonprofit today. Big Brothers Big Sisters of Rhode Island collect donations of used clothing and household items to fund their local youth mentoring programs. Schedule a pickup at donateri.org or drop off items at their 1341 West Main Road Middletown location.
Hi, I'm Ray Brown, inviting you to join me for a fun show called Talkin' Birds every Saturday morning from 7:30 to 8 here on 1540 AM WADK.
We continue now in the open forum with the Newport School Committee Candidates Forum closing statements.
Thank you, Sandra. Next, we have Dave Carlin. Dave?
Thank you, Tobias, and pardon me, everybody, for my tech problems earlier. I also want to thank all the collaborators for this evening's forum. And I also want to thank, in particular, all those who are running for the school committee. I have to say, I was a little disappointed that only 10 members of the community step forward to run for office. In other communities, there are sometimes dozens of folks running for local office. But having said that, thank you to everybody. I think I was able to communicate earlier, despite my technology problems, that I am a proud product of the Newport schools, having gone through the school system from K through 12 and having graduated from Rogers High School. I'm also a proud Newport homeowner. And aside from my wonderful wife making that happen for us or helping to make that happen for us, my time at Rogers High School and Newport Schools made that happen for us. I want to make sure that everybody knows, and I've had the pleasure of saying this in the past, that we in the Newport school system, Rogers graduates can compete with anybody from Aquidneck Island schools and anywhere throughout the state. So let's always keep our head up high on that. Last thing I want to say, last two things. Number one, as I said earlier, if you reelect me or elect me to the school committee, I can go upstate and help us. Number two, I will collaborate, unlike what I did a couple of years ago with my committee colleagues and with the superintendent. I will work closely with my colleagues and I will work closely with the superintendent to ensure that we get every fairness that we deserve on the Newport School, in the Newport School Department and for our kids. Thank you very much. Please consider me.
Thank you, Dave. Next, Mike Cullen. Mike.
Thank you. I do my homework. I ask tough questions. Sometimes I even get passionate about what I say. I've been in the tech sector, and I know that far more Newport kids can land high-wage careers. I know the opportunities. I know the skills needed to land them. Education has become too important to simply be left to the educators and our local Rhode Island teacher unions. I know our system. I've served on Newport Public Education Board for several years. I helped craft the classroom technology plan for Thompson. I championed the use of the Scratch programming language inside Pell and Thompson, as well as the expansion of Cyber Patriot cybersecurity program inside Rogers. In 2018, I worked closely with Pell staff for a year to provide the students and special guest Governor Raimondo with a 10-minute Q&A with an orbiting astronaut. I understand the system. Tapping my tech background, I'm going to champion the blue economy career opportunities that people are talking about. I'll stress the skills needed to land these rewarding careers. Unfortunately, Newport voters already know that new school buildings don't magically produce skilled graduates. We also need super skilled and motivated teachers of color, as well as community mentors. I want all our kids across all of the segments to do incredibly well. We have to open up our complex, rigid public school system to more sunshine and the broader community. Give me a chance. I ask for your vote on behalf of all Newport students, current and future. Thank you.
Right. Thank you, Mike. Next, we have Becky Bolin. Becky?
I'm asking for your support on November 3rd. I want you also to know that I have a prior military experience as a family member allows me to understand and advocate for all of our military families that are sometimes left behind or out of the conversation. And I take pride in being able to see an issue, address it with all stakeholders, and then come up with creative solutions. I have a very good, productive working relationship with my school committee peers, the unions, and our city council. I'm a problem solver and I get things done. Since 2005, I've continuously served in our district's building committees. I know the institutional history of the building of Pell and what worked and what didn't. We as a community must make this happen for Newport's future. You will be hearing a great deal more in the next 6 weeks as to its affordability and why we need this project. I would much appreciate your vote on November 3rd to have the opportunity to see these projects to the end.
Becky, thank you. And Ray Gomes. Ray?
Thank you, and thank you to everybody that made this possible tonight and all of you, everybody that in one way or the other shaped this evening, and to all the people running for school committee, it was great to hear all the different ideas and thoughts. So I encourage everybody, our email addresses have been up there all night. I encourage you to contact everybody, find out what's different among everybody. I would say that I'm going to say that I would like to continue on the school committee. I think I've brought a calming, collaborative, common sense, practical approach to everything on the decisions that we've had to make, having options, taking the best option and moving forward. So with that said, my mantra, my campaign slogan has been the same since the first day I ran. And it's just to remember that we all achieve when our children achieve. Thank you. Good night.
Thank you, Ray. And with that, I want to thank all of the candidates for their participation in the forum. Best to all of you with your campaigns. I want to thank Lynn for not only organizing this, but inviting me to be the moderator. I can think of no better use of my time than moderating what is an important effort. The passion that all of you have exhibited for the K through 12, the school system here is impressive. Of course, I want to thank Maureen Mooney from the League of Women Voters for being our diligent timekeeper tonight, and thank our sponsors for their support. But a particular special thank you to all of you who have watched or listened tonight. I encourage everyone to please not only vote, but to watch for more candidate forums in the weeks to come. And with that, thank you and good night.
All right, Dr. Toby Stapleton, thanks very, very much for an excellent job as moderator. You just heard the Newport School Committee Candidates Forum. It was recorded on September 10th, and it was sponsored by Alliance for Livable Newport, The Buzz, WADK, the League of Women Voters, the Greater Newport Chamber of Commerce, and Newport This Week. Now, next week, we will bring you the State Reps Forum, as well as we'll bring a recap of the other forums and any that we may have missed during the course of our time here as we head down to the final couple of weeks before the election. We're holding for the governor, who is expected to take air shortly after 1 o'clock, a minute or two after or so. So we will bring, of course, the governor to you live with the second press conference of the week. And of course, it's all about the uptick in cases. Now, today, the cases are continuing to go up, although the proportion is at least somewhat encouraging. While the number of cases is at the highest level that I can find going back to June, and so it may be beyond that. I have not seen any comparison yet. My notes day to day here, I'm back to June, and we were nowhere near this daily total of positive cases. Today it was 228, and I would have to go back to, the 3rd of May was 188, so it is back before that. So we're going back into April, back into phase two, and maybe even phase one. So now here's one, May 11th, it was 276. So we're back to May. So at least we're not in the dark depths of the pandemic. May 15th, we had 203, and there was far less testing going on. So the percentage was much, much higher. For example, May 15th, so that would have been 5 months ago, right? 203 positive tests, 3,300 tests total. Today, 228 tests, 228 positives, 12,000 tests. So the percent of positivity is actually quite low, 1.8. It should be one or below. And looking at some of the positive numbers through some of the summer days, we had as few as 25. So certainly a wide range of results there. Nevertheless, the hospitalizations are up again, not as much as they were back in the spring, 129 in the hospital, and there were almost 300 hospitalizations back in those days that I just referenced. Two deaths. So we will be treated to some type of new restrictions. My prediction is a red, yellow, green color code type thing. We'll see what the governor has to say as her presser gets underway any minute now.